Today's episode is brought to you in part by HelloFresh at HelloFresh.com, the meal delivery kit service that makes cooking fun and easy and convenient. I can attest to this. I love them. What a week it was when I got my last three. Oh, so good. Each week they create delicious new recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for anyone to be able to make it. Only the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities. For $35 off your first week's deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code TMS when you subscribe. And by Squarespace at Squarespace.com. At Squarespace, you can build a fantastic website with all the great templates and tools you're used to getting from Squarespace. If you haven't tried them before, you can do it now. No credit card required. Just go to the website, sign up, and Bob's your uncle. Later, when you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout. That'll save you 10% off your account. That's Squarespace.com and the code MORNING. Coming up on TMS, Monday just got a little hotter.
They kind of nailed Deadpool.
More movie-going weirdness for Brian.
Cruz puts a porn actress on stage.
And then yanks her right off. Helps... Help the Nigerian astronaut.
Writers Guild has spoken.
Want a tiny brain?
Major spoilers.
V for video games and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I wanted to specifically talk about the aerodynamics of dinosaurs and the lies that these paleontologists have been feeding you for your entire lives in exchange for millions of dollars. Pat on the back by the liberally biased media, and big high five from all the feminists out there who want to kill babies and scream at their bodies, their whatever the heck they scream.
That is a big load for anyone to carry. Sure. No pun intended.
I don't care. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. This is The Morning Stream for Monday, the February 15th, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian
Ebbett.
That
is the sound of us reaching the halfway point of February.
Well,
February.
It's the beginning of more winter, and actually, we had a bunch of warm weather yesterday and rain. So all our snow is now just like muddy mess because they're doing construction next door. So there's mud freaking everywhere.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
We've got quite the opposite coming this week. We're going to have a warming trend that's going to take us into the 60s tomorrow, up to 71 on Wednesday, then dropping back down to about 68 on Thursday. Well, here's your planning forecast.
All right, over to sports. Bill, what happened with the Chargers this week? Anyway, it's middle of February, and it's me and it's Brian, and we're doing it. We got this thing going here, this show. And just a quick update on the computer there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We mentioned, here's the worst part of what happened over the weekend. It's not that big a deal. They got the parts in. I took it in Friday after shows were over. But before I did, I was like, oh, I need to post TMS PM from Thursday. Before right. I go, because this is where all my stuff is, so I need to do this. And I went to go get it, and the file completely corrupted, would not export. Don't know why, have no idea, it's never happened before. MP3 just completely jacked, and the original wave was, something's weird with it. So I was like, frick. And I had to hurry, though, I had to get out of here, because if we didn't hurry and get it in, I wasn't going to get it back when I needed
right,
it, which is
exactly,
today,
yeah.
Or yesterday.
Get it in their hands so they could start the process.
Damn straight. So I ran in there, took it in, thought, all right, I'll figure something else out. And then eventually yesterday I pulled it out of the YouTube video and everything was fine. So you got your show, although the final song faded out. I'm aware that that's what happened, because that's what happens with the video. Because we're trying to minimize how many times YouTube sticks us with a poker, with a hot poker.
You know, that thing, that last song was crap anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. And whoever requested it, such a lame request. It was so bad.
Yeah, it wasn't the song that was bad, it was the request. God, I can't believe who requested that.
Clearly. Anyway, so that was that. It worked out great. They were very nice. They did it in record time. They usually tell people 3 to 5 days. They got it done in like a day. Mm-hmm. Picked it up last night. By the way, I got a little something to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. when Valentine's Day lands on a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
malls are insane. Like,
oh, yeah, sure.
The Apple store we have here near us is in a mall. And it's a mall that if you go there on a Sunday normally, it's super quiet in there. Like, there's just not a lot going on. Everything's sort of chill. You can really relax and, you know, no big deal. This was like 4 days before Christmas levels of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that about? What does that even
people
mean?
People who buying last minute Valentine's Day presents.
Is just, that the deal?
Like, sure.
Okay. It was weird, I thought. It just seemed like too many, and they were everywhere, and I couldn't sit anywhere, and I got to the Apple thing. They're like, yeah, there's not really a chair left. Can you just stand here? I'm like, yeah, no, it's fine. I'll stand. And there were like 1,000 Apple employees helping 1,000 people look at watches and iPads and all this garbage. And then when I got out of there, Kim says, like, I've got to go to the Sephora place and get some makeup thing. That was like, I don't, it's a Grand Central Station during everyone trying to get out of town because there's zombies uprising in the middle of Manhattan. It was bad.
Right.
And I don't know what was going on, but I will never venture out to a mall again on Valentine's Day as long as I live. It was terrible. Terrible, Ryan. Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I was surprised. We're going to talk about this now or next, but seeing Deadpool, I thought, well, you know, we're going to go see the IMAX showing at, middle of the afternoon on a Sunday.
Yeah.
On Valentine's Day.
Right.
How many people really could there be
going
to this?
Sure.
We got into the theater about 10 minutes before the movie started because there was a huge long line for popcorn, which didn't bode well for us. Mm. And the place was packed.
Yeah, ours was too. I was surprised by that. That was actually late night Saturday. Or no, wait a minute. I'm sorry, I went Friday late night. And I thought, 10 o'clock showing? No one's here. This is going to be nobody. Packed to the brim.
Yeah.
That movie did all right.
Did all right.
Yeah, it seemed to do okay. And I only saw, I am happy to report that I only saw two or three confused parents with young boys and girls there.
Good point. I don't think I saw any kids in my showing.
I was sure it was going to be worse because I just know how dumb people are. They're not paying attention to what's actually going on. They just see Marvel and heroes and they go, oh, that's another one of these. And they just take their kids.
Easy assumption to make.
I don't even know if they look at the rating, some of these people.
No, I'm sure they don't.
You know?
But I mean, you get so used to MCU being, all right, this is family friendly. It's going to be, wholesome. Superhero learn life lesson entertainment. So let's go see it. Oh my God.
Look at the stripper scene. Oh
yeah.
Yeah. That stripper scene that came out of nowhere, didn't it?
So you did not take Nick. I'm guessing.
Oh hell no. In fact, so Nick and I had this conversation before. Yeah. I sat down with him. If anyone wants you want a peek into my parenting style, here's a chance. All right. Here's what we did. I was 15 once. I know what it's like for your parents to say, you will not see Porky's. And then me and four of my friends snuck out and saw Porky's. Okay.
Right. Well, you're describing last week's episode of the Goldbergs exactly.
Okay, great.
Right down to it being Porky's.
I was 15. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I haven't even seen the Goldbergs. That's funny. I'm in touch with them or something. So Nick and I sat down. I said to Nick, I go, so what do you think about Deadpool? He goes, oh, I really want to see it, Dad. I said, I know you do. I said, I really want you to see it. I think he's a cool character. I think this could be good. I said, how do you want to handle this? And he goes, well.
How do you want to handle
this? Yeah, I go, how do you want to handle this? I'm putting it on him, basically.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you want to do? And he says, well, are you and Mom going to go? I said, yeah, we're going to go tonight late. He had other plans, so it wasn't going to go anyway. He was doing stuff with his friends. And I said, we're going to go tonight. And I said, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to kind of get a feel for whether I think this is going to be okay for you or whether you're going to be bothered by it or it's going to be weird for you or any of that? What do you want me to do? He says, yeah, why don't you watch it and you come back and we'll talk about it. So I said, okay, great. So I went, we saw the movie, came back. Everyone's up because it's Friday night. And I sat down with Nick and I said, yeah, dude, there's a couple of scenes where you're just going to be uncomfortable, especially if you go with like your friends that are girls or something. You get this stripper scene. I told them what they were. There's the stripper scene. There's a sexy scene. There's all this stuff going on. Tons of swearing. Lots of wiener jokes. I go, it's freaking Deadpool to a T. And he says, I think I'll skip it for now. And I said, okay, you sure about that? And he goes, yeah. And I said, all right, well, here's the deal I'll make with you. And here's the part where I could get in some legal trouble, but I don't care. I said, when I can get my hands on a bootleg version of it, I will edit out what you're not comfortable with and we'll watch it again. He said, all right.
Oh, wow.
So that's the plan. That's how you do it. I'm telling you, dude, if I would have just said, there is no way in my house under my roof, you're going to.
Exactly.
If I would have done that, then he would have just gone with his friends and found something to rebel against. Instead, we're all in this deal together. And he and I, he's talking to me like he's making the decisions.
Right.
It's not me telling him what he has to do.
Now he's 16, right?
He's 15. He'll turn 16 in May, June, whatever his birthday is. I'm a great parent, Brian. I don't owe my own kid's birthday.
Let's take another leak in the Scott's parenting style.
Kim takes care of that crap. I don't worry about that. Anyway, it was interesting. So let's talk about that movie for a second.
Yeah. And of course, we won't spoil anything. So don't worry about.
There's nothing to spoil anyway. But even if we did, we're not going to spoil anything. But I will say, there are a couple things that are known quantities that really surprised me, and that was I didn't expect to not just like but love Colossus's role in this. I loved what they did with Colossus.
Right. Yeah. You're not getting Bryan Singer X-Men Colossus in here. Uh-huh. You're getting
big CGI only, which they totally flipped their nose at in the opening credits.
Right. Yeah. yes.
Which was great.
Oh, opening credits are brilliant.
They were really good. Yeah. And he is this big CGI, all chrome, all the time, kind of older Colossus. This is Colossus in the most modernist of X-Men days.
Right.
Where everyone's kind of old.
Yeah.
And
kind of, Colossus X-Force kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's this big, huge, walking nightmare covered in chrome. And he's this fatherly kind of figure now. Mm-hmm. And he's very, very, he's very always yelling at Wade about his swearing. And he's, there are children about.
Stereotype Russian accent. It was something that you and I would come up with.
Yeah, totally. He was amazing. I loved everything he did, said, and was in this movie. And I can't imagine it without him now. And I was worried going in. I'm like, you're just going to wedge other characters from other Marvel franchises in here, the ones that Fox has rights to anyway. And I and I just thought that's not going to work, but it totally worked. They needed him in there. He ended up being like perfect foil for the chaos that is Deadpool. It was awesome. My favorite part of the movie was that he was in it at all. But otherwise, what did you think? I think it was great.
Loved it. Yeah. And this movie finally kind of gave me the resting comfortably in the notion that other studios besides Disney can handle Marvel properties well. Now, let me rephrase that because I want to make sure I'm not saying that I want X-Men to live with Fox in perpetuity or Sony to have Spider-Man in perpetuity.
Right.
But as much as I'd love to see X-Men characters appear in MCU films and Spider-Man appear in MCU films, and even the Fantastic Four get written well into MCU films. If this movie, if Deadpool were owned by Marvel, the movie rights were owned by Marvel and therefore Disney, we would not have gotten this true to the comic level of Deadpool.
I don't think they would have done it. I think you're right. And I think that there's no way to know for sure, but I really have a feeling that in a lot of ways, this was Fox's chance to go, all right, look, we haven't been great with some of what we've done. So we're going to just throw all that out the window and we're going to just pee all over your garden with this one. Like, this one is just a self-knowing, fourth wall breaking, again, true to the character, but it also gave the studio a chance to kind of breathe. You know, they kind of just went, all right, undo the shackles, everyone. We're just going to dork off at this thing. Like, there is a scene, this doesn't give anything away, but there's a great scene where Colossus is trying to get Deadpool to go back and talk to Professor X and, chill out. Right. And he's dragging him away. He goes, you need to talk to Professor X, Professor Xavier. And he goes, which one, McAvoy or Stewart? Like, it's so self...
referential.
It's amazing.
So many in-jokes, so many nods to the fan, not just nods to the fans, but nods to the earlier Deadpool appearance in Wolverine Origins. Brilliant references to that. Mm. Like a couple of, like a few of them.
Yeah, it was. There was some great stuff like that. His reference at the actual mansion about why he could only ever see two of them there was really funny.
Right, where are all the other X-Men? It's almost as if. Yeah, I won't say
that.
Anymore.
Was really. But that's a great joke to save for people. It's a good
one. But you're so well done. Ryan Reynolds is great. References to Green Lantern were great. And there's more than just the one you see in the previews. So. Yeah. Yep. Rest assured, it's all over the place. Yep. Tina saw it with me, and she really, really enjoyed it.
My wife laughed her head off. She thought it was one of the funniest movies she'd ever seen. I've never seen her laugh that hard. And this is not typically, she hates Kick-Ass. Hates it.
Sure.
Utterly hates it. And she was worried that this was going to be in that vein. In some ways, it is. But there's a goodness to Wade, aka to Deadpool, that is not really present in Kick-Ass has a lot of nihilistic, terrible people in it.
Right. Yes.
this is more like there is a hero in this one. You know, don't be afraid that you're not going to get something heroic happening, because you will. He's absolutely heroic. I thought he was amazing as the character. And here's the other thing I want to say about the movie before I forget. There is yet to be a Marvel movie or any of the other studios who have rights to make Marvel character movies. There has yet to be any of those, and I mean this with all my heart, that is as true to the costume as this one is. Doesn't feel goofy. Like, that is a badass costume. It looks, that is straight up Deadpool. You never once go, oh, that looks like they movie-ized, you know, the way they have to a Captain America.
I'd say they pretty much nailed Hulk's costume.
Yeah, that's true. I give you that. I give you that.
No, I'm kidding. As far as like your costumed heroes, you're
sure, because your X-Men, they all, if they wore the X-Men clothes, like 80s era X-Men clothes in the movies, it'd be ridiculous. Big giant yellow stupid suit and a Wolverine wings on his head and all that.
Right.
Like they would never get away with that. And most movies, Captain America, they had to dumb all that stuff way down. You can't have two little spindly little wing things on his head.
It's got to look more like armor.
Yeah.
Can't look like spandex. It's got to look like armor.
Right. But this, somehow they took Deadpool and just perfect translation to the screen. Mm-hmm. And it's not all padded out to make him seem buffer than he is. That's Ryan Reynolds being buff.
Right.
Like, he's a buff mother scratcher under all that stuff.
Yeah, no kidding.
I loved it. And I would not show this to your kids, and I would not take mom and dad. I would not take grandma.
No, it would be embarrassing with mom
and dad. This is a rated R film, and it's hard R. Like, the violence even is like, whoa. What happened to that guy's head back there? Sheesh.
There's holes in people that you see right through. There's plenty of gore.
But I feel like Colossus is there to be that other voice, though. He's there to like say, no. You know, like, I don't know even how to explain it.
There is hero in all of us. We just need to make it come through.
I don't want to give it away, but toward the end, I couldn't stop laughing. That was so funny.
One last thing, for those who haven't seen the movie, stay until, I mean, you probably would do this anyway, because you know it's a Marvel movie, they're going to have something, but stay until the end of the credits. Now, you'll see stuff during the credits, and you might think, oh yeah, that's great, okay, that's probably all there is, but stay until after the credits. There is a great stinger at the end.
All I'll say is, beer, bo, that's all I'll say.
Yeah.
I may have given it away right then.
Yeah, you may have given it away.
Maybe not, I don't know. As soon as you see it, you'll go, oh, that's what Scott was talking about.
That's right.
Anyway, it's great. You should see it and see it at in an appropriate age. And, don't go in there expecting the squeaky clean Avengers movies.
No.
Because that is not what this is.
You are not going to get that, my friends.
There are more penis jokes per mile than there are in the world.
And Marina Baccarin,
didn't know she was even in it until I got there.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
I don't know why I thought. I didn't know who the girl or the love interest would be, and I got in there and went, oh, we love her.
I was freaking surprised by Leslie freaking Uggams.
Leslie Uggams, did she show up? Oh, the black lady. Yes.
Black lady. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's all we'll say there.
That's a great, I mean, I was thinking, is that Nichelle Nichols? That was for a brief second.
For a second I thought it was, I didn't know who it was. And until the movie was over, I looked up the credits and went, Leslie Uggams.
Right.
Who's her agent? How'd this all work out?
Right, exactly.
On the line with us is Ralph. Ralph, what's going on?
Hey, Ralph.
Good morning.
Hey, did you, Ralph.
Guess what was out yesterday?
Ralph's coming in hot. What'd you do?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
The first episode of 11/22/63 was on last night.
We were talking about that pre-show. What'd you think of the first one?
I think it's so far, it's dead on what I want. Everything looks great. I'm not, you know, I was obviously worried that it would be not match the book, not be as good as I liked.
Mm-hmm. Did he? Okay, so let me ask you a question. In the first episode, are we out of the restaurant yet?
Yes, it moved along very fast. I think there's going to be this could easily be 6 or 10 episodes.
Well, it's a big fat book, so hopefully they get all the important bits in there. And what's his name? Okay, Freaks and Geeks, man, he does all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
James Franco.
James Franco. Yeah.
I don't think he's
Freaks and Geeks, man.
Yeah. 127 Hours, man. Like, by the way, another great 127 Hours reference. Deadpool.
Yeah.
That's really good. Oh my gosh. Also, can I say one more thing about Deadpool? The action in Deadpool, way cool. Like,
yes.
I don't know what I expected, but like, some of the stuff where he uses guns and things, holy crap.
Oh, yeah. Well done. And again, you know, so many things for the audience to enjoy during those action scenes, which could just easily have been like throwaway, shaky cam, Bourne Identity kind of stuff.
Yep.
But You know, there's fun with the bullets. There's all sorts of great stuff in there.
Yeah,
so.
It's good stuff. Ralph, can you tell me if 11-22-63 is all available at once, or are they piecing it out one at a time?
Just the first one so far.
Yeah, it's Hulu, so they piece it out.
Bastards.
It's not Netflix.
Bastards. I don't like it. They shouldn't do that.
But it looks awesome.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it. Who's playing? Do we know who's playing Kennedy in this?
Not yet. Nope.
All right.
But Cooper. Cooper plays the old guy, and he's doing awesome.
Cooper who?
Chris Cooper.
Oh, Chris Cooper. I love Chris Cooper.
Yeah. He's really good as the old diner guy.
Wow, that's awesome. All right. I'm all in, man. I'm going to catch it tonight. Ralph, take it easy. We'll talk to you later. Always nice to hear from Ralph.
Yeah.
What else?
So
you went to the movie, and in
addition to seeing Deadpool,
yeah,
I also completed the achievement of watching all of the Oscar Best Picture nominated films. I shouldn't say all the Oscar nominated films.
Brian,
I still want to see
Achievement Unlocked, man. Achievement Unlocked. We got to celebrate
achievement
here.
Achievement Unlocked, exactly. Yeah. So Brooklyn was the last one. We went and saw that on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And for you Arrow watchers, you'll be happy to know that Felicity Felicity Smoke is in there. What's her name? Bette
Snoke
Richards.
She has felt an awakening. Can you feel it?
Oh, well, finish once you've started.
I can't. I got to do the holding.
You just got to hold her nose.
You got to listen.
So Brooklyn, you got to remind me, is that it's about a girl.
It's right? about a girl who moves from Ireland to Brooklyn, New York. And you know, has adventures along the way. The erotic journey of a woman's travels from, no, it's not really. It's just doing the Rochelle thing.
Nice.
No, it's a woman's journey or girl's journey from Ireland to New York. And it's really, really good. It doesn't stand a chance in the Oscar lineup. But it's a very, very sweet and a very sweet movie. What is it? It reminded me of something from a couple Best Picture groups a while back, and I can't remember what it was, but
not Silver Linings Playbook.
No, more along the lines of
The King's Speech.
No. all right, so let's see here. I know this wasn't like
Return of the King.
Just in feel,
yeah,
in visual feel, I should say, like In the Name of the Father or Gangs of New York or something like that. A very well done kind of period piece.
Oh, what's the era? I didn't realize it was set in the past.
It's set in the 1950s.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
I'm all into that. Okay. Yeah. I'll check it out.
So really, really good. But once again, and this is, you know, it's again, Saturday, late afternoon, a movie that's been out for weeks. Tina and I get to the movie theater about 15 minutes before showtime. There's two people in the audience. We sit down. I put my coat in the chair next to me. Tina puts her coat in the chair next to her. And, you know, we don't, whatever. And if the place fills up, we'll obviously, if it starts looking like it's going to fill up, we'll obviously move our coats and put them in our laps or behind us or whatever.
I know where this is going.
Once again, completely different people. Are you saving that seat for somebody? Right, Tina points to her jacket. Are you saving that seat for somebody? We're like, we look at each other like, what the hell?
Yeah, you have to start having like an X-Files thing going on. Like, this is if this happens one more time, then this is not just happenstance. There's like some conspiracy against
now,
you.
Now, this situation was a tiny bit different because we were at the Regal Theater over by our house where instead of the bars going all the way across, it's a set of handicap seats, then a section of bars, then a set of handicap seats, then a section of bars. So if you want to stick your feet through the openings between through the bars, you've really only got a handful of seats where you can do that. Mm. And Tina and I happened to be in two, and the ones right next door were the other two where somebody could do that. Mm. And so this guy said, I really like sticking my feet through the bars to stretch them out a little bit. Yeah. And Tina honestly looks at them and says, all right, you can sit here. But you're not going to talk. And she says in a way where she's smiling, but there's a little bit of seriousness behind that smile.
Oh,
there's
you know, for sure.
Yeah, there's some, listen.
Oh, man, that is really funny. That's so funny. Did they react to that at all? Did they just,
Yeah, they kind of chuckled.
Okay. And how were they during the film? Were they okay?
The guy talked during the film.
He did?
He did.
Shit! Dude, what is your deal?
I noticed it once. Tina says, oh, no. He talked, through quite a few scenes in that film.
I can see, you know, as we were, let's imagine us being made by aliens thousands of years ago, and sure. as they were doling us out, this one will be a great man and accomplish many things. This one will be president of nations. This one will always be sitting next to an idiot in a movie theater.
So true.
Goodbye and good luck, basically.
Right.
Wow. All right. I feel for you, dude. I do. Yeah. That's rough business right there.
Just seems to always happen. But I feel like I'm ready to, now that I've seen all eight, I think I'm going to say it's going to be either Spotlight or Big Short, because those are the two. It's funny, because right after seeing The Revenant, I was like, oh, I think Revenant's going to win. But
yeah.
I don't think about Revenant as much as I look back at Spotlight and Big Short as, you know, oh yeah, those are really good. You know, you go back and you think about the movies you've seen. Even this weekend, seeing Brooklyn, mm-hmm. I was thinking after the film, I was like, oh yeah, Spotlight had that really, really good scene with Ruffalo and blah, blah, blah. Mm. So I'm...
All right, you're swinging that direction.
I'm swinging towards Spotlight for this one.
Well, I still have all fingers and toes crossed for a certain movie about a lot of dirt and roads and yes. mad people.
Best director.
Best director.
I'm going to predict it right now for that one, best director.
Perfect. Well, how about best trivia man?
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
That music can only mean one thing. Daryl Skeels is on the line. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
It's Stump Daryl time. That's where Daryl comes on the show and gets stumped with a hard question about nerd trivia of some sort. It might even be Star Trek today. It's not, but it could be, but it's not.
But it could be someday.
Yeah, it might be someday.
And it's brought to you by Hello from All Roads Tavern. Check out our special today. Buy a pitcher at half price. If a duplicate, you buys the other half. Sail on by and listen to our role play podcast where we void ocean. Yeah, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever finer podcasts are thrown. Visit lithmage.com for details. That's lithmage.com. And remember, all roads lead to All Roads Tavern.
Nice. As you know, when we do this show or we do this segment now, we take our first caller. I haven't even had a chance to put the number out yet. Which is a number to hang on to, 801-895-4724. And we already have a caller on the line. Who's this?
This is Stephanie.
Oh.
Stephanie.
Stephanie, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Our first lady contestant for Stumpa Daryl Nerd.
Yeah, nice job. And I like that. We need more diversity on the show. It's a lot of wiener men on the show. I don't know if you've noticed that. So it's good.
I'm musical chemist in the tadpole.
Oh, all right. Well, it's nice to see you or hear you because we see you in there all the time.
That's right. And we never know if it's music alchemist or musical chemist. So you're a musical chemist.
It's musical chemist. You can go either way.
All right. You've cleared it up.
Jeannie puts the number in the tadpole, so I figured I would call.
Oh, good. Oh, that's right. She's on top of this stuff. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
Also, tadpole, you can stop calling now. She's on the line now, so we have someone. I keep getting calls.
They want to be a backup just in case Skype kills her connection.
Five or six calls in a row here. Daryl, how are you feeling about your chances today?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, good, because you don't even know the topic. I'm about to lay it
no
on you.
No clue.
I'm going to say this, that musical chemist who's on the line now can tell you whether she thinks you're going to get it right or not, but you don't have to tell us that until after I ask the question. Does that all make sense to everyone?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
All right, now here's the cool bit. If you are correct in Daryl's decision-making, meaning if he gets it right and you said he would, or the other way around, whichever way you get it right, you win a free copy of the MyExtraLife.com Definitive Edition book. We have an extra we didn't know about.
Yeah.
We will ship it to wherever you live and maybe a couple little extra things thrown in there for 100% free. It's like a $30 book, Zippo free for you today.
Wow. Cool.
If you get this right. So you called the
perfect day.
No pressure at all. We were going to do like, oh, let's do avatars or something. And then Dave's like, hey, I've got an extra book. Let's find somebody who's...
Huge, huge prize today.
Yeah, big prize. So here we go. Daryl, here's your question. And then she can tell us if you think you're going to get it right or not. Here we go. Oh, I have to play mashup. Damn it. All right. Sorry. Let everyone get excited for nothing. Here's a mashup first from Mike. Got to play it. Here you go. Hey, way to go, Iceworm. Very first question on the news week, and you have Erst in there instead of first.
Nice job, homie.
Yeah, good job, Holmes Cheese.
Hello. I am Flouty Head Claude Man. Claude Man, Cloud Man.
Yeah,
that is Santeria, yes.
He ain't got no Santeria. He ain't got no crystal ball. He's something, 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 then he spilled it all. Was that how it go?
Something like that.
Something like that. All right, great. Shirley Manson has a 50-foot restraining order against Iceworm, is my understanding.
has it been downgraded to 50? Yeah. Really?
When he sings...
Dolce Townsend Overdrive.
He had a silver ball, and he stumped in with the thing. Yeah. He thought he'd get them all.
Hi, I'm a wizard lady. Oh, look, there's a dude behind me. You need any wizarding done?
All right, he's dipping into YouTube videos now.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about
that. That's the entire length of that YouTube video, too.
Yeah, that was the whole video. All right, thank you, Mike. Now here's your question. Kit wasn't the only talking car on Knight Rider. So this is a Knight Rider question, Daryl. He was not the only talking car on Knight Rider. Car, spelled K-A-R-R, was another talking car, but he was evil. Evil. It would kidnap people and do other kinds of devious things. He was a real jerk. There was two people to voice Car in the original series. One of them was Paul Frees. Who was the other? Here are your options. A, Frank Welker, voice of Starscream. Okay? Just to give you, or not Starscream, Megatron. B, William Daniels. Don't know what he does. C, Peter Cullen, voice of Optimus Prime. D, Chris Latta. Don't know what he does. So you got Frank Welker, William Daniels, Peter Cullen, or Chris Latta. Two of those names are very big names in the history of VO for cartoons and things. That being Peter Cullen and Frank Welker. However, the other two are...
Chris Latta, by the way, Chris Latta was also a voice actor in the Transformers and G.I. Joe.
Oh, all right.
And...
Chris Latta did Starscream then, I think. Because he also did Cobra Commander, I believe.
And William Daniels. Let's see here.
Just don't read the one credit off.
He was Dustin Hoffman's character in The Graduate.
All right. That doesn't make sense, but all right. How is he Dustin Hoffman's character in The Graduate?
I'm sorry, he was the father of Dustin Hoffman's character. Did I not say the word father?
No, you said he was...
He was Dustin Hoffman's character.
Yeah, you said he was Dustin Hoffman's character.
Dustin Hoffman played William Daniels, who then went on to play other people.
All right.
Now, when you see William Daniels, you totally know who he is. Okay. He was on Boy Meets World, Saint Elsewhere.
All right. Just don't read one particular credit.
I won't read any credits, other credits.
Okay, good. That's a bad idea.
Yes.
All right. So Daryl, there's your answers. What do you think? Stephanie, right?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure. I always forget names while we're talking to people. What do you think about Daryl's chances? You think he'll get it right? Think he'll get it wrong?
I'm going to say wrong.
Okay. You think he's going to get it wrong. Daryl, that's not...
That's the safe bet.
That is not an indictment of you, Daryl.
Sorry, Daryl.
It's just a hard question. She sees this for what it is. Now you can either prove her right or wrong. And don't... Listen, here's the other problem.
We all have faith in you, Daryl. But,
right, but this is the problem.
Know, sometimes we know.
Here's a problem with this arrangement, though. Mm-hmm. Daryl is a nice guy who feels empathy for people.
Yeah.
I don't want him to ever start going, well, I better get this one wrong because I really want this person to get this book. Like, the stakes are a little higher today.
Well, you know how we solve that? We can solve that starting tomorrow. The caller guesses after... Daryl makes their guess.
Oh, to see if they're right or wrong.
That's right. And then that also gives the caller the ability, if they know the answer, they know whether or not Daryl's going to get it right or not.
You're like Merv Griffin with no hair.
Who said, you know, Merv Griffin was really bald underneath that.
Yeah, they had to be, right?
That brown toupee, yes.
Yeah, there's no
doubt. So this will be like Hollywood Squares. You can agree or disagree.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yes, yeah, there you exactly.
Go. Yeah, look at you guys. All right. So, Daryl, why don't you tell us what you think? Do your deliberations. Oh, we're going to eat a thing, though, first. Hold on.
Yeah, we got to eat first. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot we had this. Hold on. We're all backwards today. Let's do this right here.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We only have one left, right?
That's right. And Stephanie gets to listen to us eat.
Yeah, what an honor it must be. Topris Kube.
Topris Kube.
Kube. Mikulati fit med sperm.
Rockin' it's literally translated. To top, as in tip-top, rice log. Rice log. It's toffee caramel covered with dark chocolate and then covered with milk chocolate containing puffed crisp rice.
Wow. You know, when I was a kid and my parents would take me to Disneyland, my least favorite ride was the rice log. Not good. All right, I'm pulling this out. Looks like a turd. Put that at the bottom of the pool, Bill Murray. You would fool everybody. Look at that thing.
It smells really good, though.
You mean not like a turd?
No.
Does it smell like a Baby Ruth?
or a baby
turd.
It smells
like European chocolate.
All right. So a turd then. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. All right, here we go. Let's take a bite.
Oh, it's one of these where they give you like a separate one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's got like a candy bar in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to think of that.
I like it.
It's awesome.
Well, I like it a lot.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of flowery old lady right at the beginning, but then that disappears quickly, so then it's all right.
By the way, my favorite clip from Daryl last week, listen.
I don't like hearing myself. Shut up, me.
There you go. It was a good moment. All right. Thus endeth our Norwegian chocolate trip down memory lane.
Big thanks once again to Sigbjorn Eikness.
Yep.
Who's getting this stuff out.
He gave us some of the best chocolate we've had.
Right, yeah. I still have that big one. I'm still working on it.
All right.
Ice Worm,
you wanna pull that one out? All right. What else?
Thank you, Satan.
Oh, thank you, Satan, for the chocolate.
Thank you, Ice Worm.
That's right. Daryl, let's get back to it. So we know that this car character was characterized by two different voice actors. Paul Frees was one, and the other was either Frank Welker, William Daniels, Peter Cullen, or Chris Latta.
Okay.
I always get a Chris Latta Grande when I go to Starbucks.
Let's see. I could be evil right now and try to get this wrong.
Yeah, you could.
And that would be...
That'd be dishonest.
I don't know if that'd be easy or not, because it's... I don't know. I don't know anyway.
Either way, you don't know.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
Mm.
But I suspect it might be that Cullen guy.
Mm. The Cullen guy.
Yeah. Cullen guy?
You mean Peter Cullen?
Peter Cullen.
The voice of Optimus Prime. Roll out, that guy.
Yeah, he did a bunch of other stuff, too.
Yeah, he's... that guy's he's prolific. He did the original Terminator film. Its trailer, theatrical trailer, was voiced by Peter Cullen, actually.
Wasn't he on a lot of game shows or something? Or am I thinking of a different Cullen?
I don't know.
You're thinking of Bill Cullen.
Oh,
who was the host of... one of the original hosts of Price is Right.
Oh, there was a different guy than what's his name on Price is Right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, before Bob Barker, it was. I know Bill Cullen was one of them. Sorry, I'm still enjoying this lovely
turd shaped delight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hold on then. That's crazy. I didn't know that.
If you saw a picture of Bill Cullen, you'd recognize him. He had humongously thick glasses. I mean, they were small on his face, but they were probably like 4 or 5 inches thick.
So there was.
Oh, that's who I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at him. Oh, yeah, I know who that is. Especially the older version of him. He looks a little like current host of The Price is Right.
Drew Carey? Yeah,
Drew Carey, yeah. Weird.
Yeah, he also hosted $20,000 Pyramid for a while. Oh, yeah, he hosted Blockbusters. I've Got a Secret.
And his glasses were, man, those things were, you put some light through that, you'll kill a thousand ants. Look at those things. Yeah.
He couldn't look at the sun or he would burn a hole through his head.
Yeah, I did Price is Right, Blockbusters, Tell the Truth, Joker's Wild.
Child's Play, I Guess, Chain Reaction.
Yeah.
Three on a Match. Look at some of these game shows.
Is he dead? He's dead.
He is dead, yeah. Died in 1990.
Okay. 20 to 90, how would that have made him? Sorry, this is dumb math.
70?
70? Seems kind of young to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an easy math. Why was I struggling with that? All right, sorry. Let's get back to the deal here. So you say, is Peter Cullen your answer?
Sure, why not?
Okay, let's find out if you are right. If you are, then that's bad for Stephanie. If you're wrong, it's real good for Stephanie. So let's find out. Is it right?
Congratulations.
It's absolutely
you're
right.
A winner.
Damn it.
That means no book. Oh gosh,
no,
dang it.
Send
that
her
means
the book anyway.
I may you know what? We may send her some sort of a consolation something.
How much is that?
Nice-a-roni.
It's like $30. Daryl's already Daryl's feeling bad. I knew this would happen. Daryl, you're the Trek Nerd. You can find you on Twitter at the Trek Nerd and also at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Stephanie is always in the chat room and always awesome, and we'll figure out a way to make it less painful for Daryl getting that right. Everybody listening to my voice, thanks so much for being with us and goodbye. All right. I got to get out of that mess as quick as I can.
Right.
All right.
You know, now we're going to get an email from Daryl that says, I don't like this way of doing it.
Yeah, this is the worst. But if you don't reply right away, he'll take it to Twitter. So we got to reply right away. as soon as we can.
Right.
All right, here's this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Today's morning headlines brought to you by
Nerd Punch and their very first ever 24-hour live stream for Extra Life. Nerd Punch is a group of 30-something-year-old family men embarking on our first ever charity event. On February 20th, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, they're going to be gaming on twitch.tv/nerdpunch for the Extra Life charity that supports the Children's Miracle Network for 24 hours straight. We're having prize drawings every hour for Steam codes and games. For more information, follow us on Twitter at nerdpunch or email us at nerdpunch@gmail.com. Again, that's February 20th, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/nerdpunch.
Ted Cruz, are you familiar with him?
I'm familiar.
Here.
He's in the news a lot this weekend. I mean, obviously, you know, running for president kind of puts you up there, but lots of stuff to say about
Scalia.
The death of Antonin Scalia.
Yep.
And
is it
also
Scalia or Scalia? Which how do you
I'm
say?
Sorry, Scalia. It is Scalia.
All right.
And also the Saturday night debate, where he was accusing Trump of being a liar. Liar, liar, liar.
Yeah, that was pretty gnarly. And him yelling Spanish at Rubio, which was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
How about this?
Last I checked, we don't have a rubber shortage in America.
In
America.
Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy Cricket.
That's right. Whoa, that's him too.
Wow! Powerful, horrible, today! Obamacare, hates law, strangles, unleashed, booming, Reagan.
Wow. Ted Cruz does go up to 11.
They're killing me, though, these people with their whole... There's a strong tradition, 80-year tradition in this country of not appointing justices during an election year, which is complete BS.
Right.
Like one guy, the Republican from Iowa, I can't remember his name, but he got up and said that. He said, yeah, we don't do that's something you just don't do. Except that during Reagan's presidency, appointed Justice Kennedy
right
to the Supreme Court.
And I think Scalia too was during
Reagan. It was also during Reagan. It
wasn't during his last year, right?
Right. But he got Kennedy during his last year. That guy was a moderate to sort of left-leaning dude. So again, something you wouldn't want your Republican candidate or your Republican president to do right during his final year in office.
That's basically the thing, is that if we had a Republican president, we wouldn't be hearing any issue about this from that side of the aisle.
But they're acting like we don't know that. Like, right. That's my problem with it, is that it's not so much that I totally get it. If this was a Republican presidency, the Democrats would oppose appointing a new... It's the same.
Totally.
Everybody does it, no matter who's in office. But don't act like we're idiots out here and that we don't know why you're doing it. Don't say things. So this Ohio guy, this Republican in Ohio, not only did he forget about that happening under everyone's favorite god, Reagan, but he forgot that he voted for it.
Did he really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
He voted the affirmative for it, and it was 71-0 vote. He's an idiot. I can't stand it when they think we're retarded. Excuse my use of the R word.
Right.
But I think it's appropriate in this thing.
Yes, they think that the better way to say it is that they think we're idiots and that we don't see that they're doing that.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's the part, Brian. People think the part of it for me is that they're saying a thing that is just partisan. That's not my problem. My problem is they think you and I are dumb.
Mm-hmm.
We're not dumb. We get it. Anyway, Ted Cruz is in trouble. Not in trouble, but he did a thing. So here's the deal. He had an anti-Rubio attack ad that featured, not to his knowledge, but a ex-softcore porn actress named Amy Lindsay. Ted Cruz's campaign yanked the attack ad, which was an ad against Republican contender Marco Rubio. After it was revealed that it featured a former softcore porn actress. Cruz's campaign said in a statement to NBC on Tuesday, or Thursday rather, that it was swapping the commercial with a new one after they learned about her background. The actress responded to an open casting call. She passed her audition and got the job. Unfortunately, she was not vetted by the casting company. Had the campaign known of her full filmography, we obviously would not have let her appear in the ad. Campaign is taking the ad down and replace it with a different commercial. Lindsay said, or has said, she is a supporter of Cruz's conservative Christian values. Cruz, meanwhile, is trying to stake his campaign in the upcoming South Carolina primary by winning the evangelical vote. In the next commercial spot, even supporters of Cruz sit in a therapy, seven supporters of Cruz sit in a therapy circle and talk about regrets they had when they previously voted for Rubio.
Hi, my name is Mike, and I voted for Marco Rubio.
I saw the ad. Mike. It's stupid.
It really is. Yeah.
I'm going to play it. Here you go.
Okay.
Just a piece of it, or maybe all of it. Here you go. Here's some.
Has anyone else here struggled with being lied to?
Well, I voted for a guy who was a Tea Party hero on the campaign trail, and then he went to D.C. and played patty cake with Chuck Schumer and cut a deal on amnesty.
Does that make you angry?
Angry? Oh, it makes me feel dumb for trusting them.
Maybe you should vote for more than just a pretty face this time.
You guys have room for one more?
No.
Come on in. Come on in.
Come on in. You can have Frank's chair.
I'm Ted Cruz, and I approve this message.
I'm Ted Cruz, and I look like a community theater Dracula. Thank you for voting for me.
That's awesome.
Don't you think
SNL
does?
Replaced the background music for that end thing. Hey, you got room for one more with a little bit of porn music? So when the guy walks in, hey, you got room for one more?
They should, dude. Come on, we live in the internet era. Somebody can just edit that up and put it up.
Yes.
Doesn't he, though? He looks like the
Love that community theater Dracula performance.
Yeah, we're doing a Bram Stoker's Dracula adaptation here at the local amphitheater, and we've hired this guy. Who's just up the street? Did a little acting.
I've got some aspirations for playing Dracula.
I'm real good at it. Let's see. Enough of that. Let's move on. I don't know that you should be discriminating against. Whatever.
You know, now that you put the Dracula thing in my head,
yeah,
he looks like the uncle from the Munsters.
Yeah,
Ted Cruz looks like Uncle Dracula, whatever his name was.
Uncle Dracula. Wasn't it Grandpa? Wasn't it Grandpa?
Grandpa, yes. Looks like Grandpa from the Munsters.
Yeah, like a younger version of Grandpa from the Munsters. Well,
maybe not so younger. But like, oh my God, it's totally him.
I think he looks like just a bad knockoff. Like just a low-rent Dracula to me for some reason. Nigerian astronaut lost in space needs $3 million to get home. Oh. I don't know if you heard about this. This is a real problem. This Nigerian astronaut. This is all bullshit. It's an email that's just bullshit. So here's the deal. Somebody received an urgent email from the cousin of a Nigerian astronaut, Air Force Major Abachi Tunde. And the email says this. Request for assistance, strictly confidential. I am Dr. Bariki Tunde, the cousin of Nigerian astronaut Air Force Major Abachi Tunde. He was the first African in space when he made his secret flight in the Salyut 6 space station. In 1979, he was on a later Soviet space flight, the Soyuz, whatever. Then it goes on to say, in the 14 years since he has been on the station, he has accumulated flight pay and interest accounting to more than $15 million. This is held in a trust fund somewhere.
Of course it is.
So yeah. He can't get home. The gist of it is he can't get home from space.
He can't log into Bank of America or Bank of Russia or Bank of Nigeria.
Yep.
And I think because he was on the Soviet spacecraft. He can't log in from space and pay his bills, which are just racking up. Poor guy.
I know. It's really sad. So could you help this guy out? Because this wouldn't be easily verifiable at all that there's a guy with this name up on the space station.
Right.
This is the best use of Nigerian spam I've seen in a while. I just had to share that with everyone.
That's fantastic.
All right. Spotlight. Well, Spotlight and Big Short, the two you think are going to be fighting it out for the final, for the big prize. They have won the Writers Guild of America awards, both of them. It was held in Los Angeles and New York. I don't know why both, but whatever. Spotlight, the Boston Globe's effort to uncover pre-sex abuse scandal in the Catholic Church, won for best original screenplay. The writers are Josh Singer and Tom McCarthy. Big Short, about the 2008 financial crisis, won for best adapted screenplay by writers Charles Randolph and Adam McKay, who wrote a screenplay adapted from the book with the same title by Michael Lewis. So, Brian, more ammo in the gun for Brian's picks.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least, if nothing else, probably those two following suit with the best adapted screenplay and best original screenplay for the Oscars.
Neither of those movies strike me as very shiny or chrome. I'm just putting it out there.
Neither one. It's not, you know, you'll want to witness them, but.
Yeah, witness these movies as they spray their face with paint. Well, see, they don't do that either. I don't know, man. If you don't have a blood bag who's a human being on the front of your car, what are we even talking about? let's see. With a few skin cells, here's some good news. Scientists can now make your tiny little brain.
Oh, good.
Or I'm sorry. Let me back that
up. I've tried with a 3D printer, so I'm glad that they're going to be doing it with skin cells this time.
We like to finish the news with some science sometimes. Yes, we did that a lot last week.
Some science, yeah.
So this is a version of your brain, but a little tiny one, and it actually works. Tiny rolling balls of brain cells knocking around in a lab may one day keep you from losing your marbles, among other things. Thanks, Ars Technica.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's a real hoot.
I used to work at the HuffPo.
Yeah.
My previous experience,
former writer,
includes Gawker and HuffPo.
The small cellular balls act like mini brains, mimicking aspects of the real thing, including forming noggin-like structures and pulsing with electrical signals like a thinking mind. Researchers reported on Friday at the annual meeting of the American Association of the Achievement of Science in Washington. Jeez. The mini brains... that's my favorite morning cereal.
Mm-hmm. Mini brains.
It's always around Halloween. They let it out just the one time a year. which can be personalized based on whose cells they were made from, may soon help scientists study a wide variety of diseases and health problems, including autism, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, as well as stroke, brain trauma, and infections, such as the Zika virus. Hold on. Is the Zika virus a brain thing? I didn't know that. Is that good to your brain?
I didn't think it was. Yeah, I thought it just caused birth defects.
Now I'm going to spray myself way more. I didn't know that.
More DEET.
why can't we just put raw DEET on ourselves? How come it's always
because it's poisonous?
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So I can't just soak myself in DEET.
You don't want it. Yeah, that's why the sprays you get are like, you know, keep out of reach of children, only contains 6% DEET or something like that. So
it's such a dumb name. It doesn't have any gravitas as a poison. Like if somebody said, what happened to old man Johnson? Oh, he ingested too much DEET. It just sounds stupid.
Right.
I've eaten too much DEET. Let's see. There's a variety of places these brains could be useful. They may offer cheaper, more ethical, realistic models for human brains than mice and other animals. But also, eventually, maybe we could make brains. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
There's your science story of the day.
Yeah, no, what we're saying, Dice Tomato, he's clarifying about Zika. We're saying we didn't think it was a brain disease, which is kind of what this article, the way they phrased it.
Yeah, they make it seem like maybe that's what they're suggesting.
As opposed to, we're pretty much thinking it's a birth defect thing.
Yeah.
And Dice Tomato confirms that. So thank you. Dice Tomato. Keep dice in those tomatoes.
Yeah, keep those dice in those tomatoes. And don't forget, don't eat DEET. Hey guys, just want to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsors today. HelloFresh.com starts us out. Oh man, their meal delivery kit service is the best I've ever had. We had 3 meals delivered a couple of weeks ago, and it changed my life that week. It was so good, and I helped make it. I have to admit, my wife did most of the work, but they make it so simple. In 30 minutes or less, you can take these recipes created by their chefs and have a finished meal in no time. It's really, really fantastic. Easy, convenient, fast. Every week, something new. Freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities, so there's no food waste. That's important to a lot of people, including me. They have a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure that you're getting the most nutritionally balanced thing possible. And every delivery comes straight to your doorstep in a special insulated box for free. Oh man, let's save you some money. For your first week of deliveries, I want to save you $35. How? Easy. Go to HelloFresh.com and you need to use enter the promo code TMS. So enter the code TMS. That'll save you $35 off your first week of deliveries at HelloFresh.com. And big thanks to our friends at Squarespace.com, helping you build websites for a very long time now. If you still haven't taken the plunge, and I don't know why you haven't, but if you haven't, now's the time to do it. Never have the templates or tools been better. Never has it been easier for you to have an online store, a portfolio, a blog, something that looks good on desktop and mobile without you having to do a bunch of extra work. Love Squarespace.com. So will you. How do I know that? How about a free trial with no credit card required? 14 days. Get in, try it. If you like it, use the code MORNING at checkout. Save 10% on your account. That's 10% on your sign-up if you go right now to squarespace.com and use the code MORNING. Let's take a break. When we come back, it's major spoilers, it's V for video games, and more. Before we do, though, we like to play music, you like to listen to it, and Brian brought some, so let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Scott and Brian, my girlfriend Rachel and I will be celebrating our second anniversary on the 14th. We've been together through some pretty big changes in our lives, like moving to a new city for college, and rather be has meant a lot to us over the past couple of years as we both settled into college life. Mm. It'd be awesome if you could play Pentatonix's cover of it on the stream for us, but if that's not possible, anything else performed by Pentatonix or something with an acoustic feel would also be great. I love you, Rachel. Happy second anniversary. Signed, Kevin.
I almost played it.
I know. P.S. Love the show, guys. Keep up the great work.
Still almost played it.
I kept your finger hovering over that thing.
I really did. It was kind of twitching. I had to move it away from the mouse.
So going out to Kevin and Rachel, great suggestion here. This is one, the original of this is done by Clean Bandits. You'll find this cover on Pentatonix's album PTX Volume 3. Great tune here and fun. And you gotta love, the acapella every once in a while is a treat. Here is Rather Be by Pentatonix.
We're 1,000 miles from comfort. We have traveled land and sea. But as long as you are with me, there's no place I'd rather be.
The Morning Stream. We knew then that we were being changed.
And we're back. That's Brian.
Bush.
Yeah, always.
Bush.
Always saying that word.
Bush. Yeah. Yeah. I said it a lot more in the 70s.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
I need a reminder when I don't update the graphic for the entire news portion of the show. Deadpool's been setting up there for the Ted Cruz Rubio attacks. I had perfect opportunity to show that that softcore porn actress. Big Short, Mini Brains. So many things I could have put up there. So
I blame the tadpole. They are always distracting those people.
This damn distracting bunch of freaks.
Freaks, a bunch of freaks. Okay, what are we doing here? Let's get Steven in.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
All right.
I've been racking my brain trying to think of why I shouldn't have him in here.
I should put Deadpool back in the...
Oh, yeah, he's going to talk about that again.
Right.
I think we are, anyway. We're going to talk about the money it made, which is always a good time. So let's do that. Here we go. Stephen S. P. Schleicher III, Esquire, on the line. Hello, Stephen. Mm-hmm.
Good, close enough, Scott. I'm doing good.
What's your middle initial? I never actually knew that.
We talk about this like
do we? Have we done
every
this?
Month? It's F.
F, and it stands for Frank, Francis, Frederick,
Francis,
Francis.
Yes.
That's it. I knew it was one of those.
Yes.
My mother-in-law's name is Francis, so I try to avoid it. Maybe that's why I blocked it out. Stevens is here. He's from Major Spoilers, and he is here to talk about the goings on in nerd culture, comic books, movies, blah 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 blah. We all saw Deadpool. Did you see Deadpool?
I did. We saw it on Thursday night, had it up on Zach on film, and it was a whole lot of fun. But as you guys said earlier, don't be taking your kids to this.
No.
Our theater was completely sold out, and they were turning people away at the door. But our stupid theater also put it in the medium-sized theater and not the largest theater.
Oh.
So
we had a guy checking for tickets at the door. They never do that. So usually you get tickets at the outer thing, and then you go in, and then no one cares. But they had a guy there going, "Hi, can I see your tickets?" And he kept doing it, and I asked him. Just curious, and it's not a problem or anything, but I just wonder why you're checking tickets twice. He says, it's because kids are trying to sneak in here.
Yeah. Yep.
And I said, oh, you guys are enforcing that. He says, yep, so we have to do it with everyone so it doesn't look like we're, you know,
singling
picking
out
on some girl who's 25.
Profiling.
Yeah, they're not profiling some 25-year-old as a 15-year-old or something.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, they seem to be interested in that. I think, I don't know who governs that. Like, can a theater get in trouble and be sanctioned or... find or can the MPAA do something if you don't enforce the age stuff or
not really to my knowledge. I mean, I suppose they could, but I think you and I all know that all you need is someone who's 19 and they can just go in with a bunch of their friends and say, yep, I will allow all these kids to come in with me.
Yeah.
And there you go.
I'm their guardian.
If you use Fandango too, I mean, I guess there probably aren't many under 17-year-olds who have a credit card on Fandango, but
right. Although our theater was doing the R restriction as well, and they were checking IDs when you came to pick up your ticket.
Mm. Oh, interesting. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you went because I'd like to just get your. You don't have to give us any spoilers or anything, but did you like it?
It was really good. It was better than I expected it to be, and it was certainly something I was looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will, first of all, it's probably made someone at Fox very, very angry because Ryan Reynolds has been trying for like a decade to get this film made his way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so someone at Fox who was like, fine, here you go, and we're cutting your budget to nothing, is probably cursing this morning because it made so much money over the weekend.
Yeah, there was a lot of resistance for a while there.
Yeah.
And they gleefully took many opportunities in this to make very direct pointed fun at the previous incarnation of Deadpool. And
there's also a very specific comment made about the budget of this movie in the movie.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And all kinds of like in the credits, just, they were not holding back. Like there's a real anarchy to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so surprised. I'm really actually kind of surprised it got made. It felt kind of guerrilla and under the wire. And it's like Men in Suits didn't get it or something.
Yeah, because I mean, okay, so here's the thing. Let's give Ryan Reynolds $58 million just so he'll shut up. The movie will tank just like his Green Lantern movie did, and then we can all say, okay, no more of this nonsense, and we can go on with Wolverine 27 and X-Men 32. And, you know, this proved them completely wrong. In fact, it is one of the largest opening weekends for any superhero movie. It's number 7 for all superhero movies. Mm-hmm. And it certainly beat out movies like Batman Begins, Incredible Hulk, Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Man of Steel. And the weekend's not even over because they're saying now $150 million by the end of today.
Yeah, 160.
Right, they count today as part of the weekend. Mm-hmm. So
Previous holiday. Record holder was Man of Steel at 116 million, Deadpool at 134 plus and counting.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. It's
and
also,
that's just here in the U.S. It's got 270 million worldwide already.
And that movie, what was I going to say about something about it doing something, and I forgot now. Dang it. Anyway, yeah, no, that's a big, I know what it was. They broke the all-time record for R-rated opening ever.
Yep.
Like of any kind ever.
Which is, do you remember the first R-rated movie you saw?
Yeah, it was, it may have been, well, if you don't count that weird psycho Elliot Gould fish tank murder thing, which I'm sure was rated R, it had to have been. But if you don't count that, like just accidental viewing of something, I think my first R-rated film where I went to a theater to see it was probably Breakfast Club.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I went with my mom and dad. They took me. They were so nervous. My mom was so nervous.
Breakfast Club came after or before Aliens, right?
You know what? I take it all back. Alien was the first. The first Alien was the first R-rated movie I saw.
Alien I went to with my mom, my uncle, and her friend Bev, who hid under the chairs for the whole time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Bev was a little frightened.
Yeah.
I was 14 and a bunch, and my cousin took me to see Life Force.
I was 14. Life Force, dude. The one with Patrick Stewart in it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. Oh, no. It gave me nightmares for a week.
Yeah. And there's a lot of boobers in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's in there. I think it was Alien. So, Brian and I, you and I share the same first rated R theatrical movie.
Well, more or less. Yeah. I think I got my mom and I went to go see the Ralph Bakshi Lord of the Rings. No, The Hobbit.
Yeah.
The animated Hobbit. And as penance for making my mom sit through that, I guess, she drugged me in to see Coming Home with John Voight.
Oh.
In another theater. So she's like, all right, and we just went from one theater to the other at U Hills Cinemas on Colorado Boulevard. And I remember the only part of that movie I remember is my face getting covered up as soon as Jane Fonda took her top off.
I didn't know Jane Fonda did that.
I think it was Jane Fonda. I'm sure I remember who it was. Somebody took their top off in that film and it was almost like someone threw a towel over my face.
This is when John Voight was a headlining actor that would like make.
That's right.
He was a big deal then. Not just some side actor who gets spit out of a snake and winks at you.
Right.
All right. So these movies made this movie made a ton of money. And I think it probably doesn't mean, though, this is the one worry I have. Does it mean we're going to get a spate of like 1,000 snarky, sweary, dirty.
Are we getting a Lobo movie?
Hero movies, yeah.
Well, we had this discussion about where do you go next? I mean, Wolverine could be an R-rated movie very easily if they went with a little bit more violence, although, you know, it's such a popular character, there's no way that they would do that. But Lobo would be a very good R-rated movie, and I think Warner Brothers this morning is reconsidering their options on that movie.
Their Lobo stance. Yeah, because this, once again, WB, freaking Warner Brothers, sitting around going, oh, this isn't going to work. Oh, shit. Marvel and someone else made it work. We better do it, too. Like, they keep doing this.
Yeah.
When are they going to learn that maybe they need to stretch a little bit and, like, put their neck out?
We will find out March 23rd.
Yeah, I guess so.
Although there may be some, I heard a rumor that they may be shifting some of those movies around after this Batman v Superman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they may punt the Justice League movie a year and move the Batman movie up a year.
I really like the new trailer, if that means anything to anyone.
Yeah, oh no, it's really good, yeah.
Yeah. The one they showed before Deadpool is great. And I'm pretty sure, right, Suicide Squad is going to be R, right? I can't imagine that's going to be...
No, I think that's...
Is it really going to be PG-13?
I think it's PG-13.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Missed opportunity, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe. We'll see. It could be a hard 13. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do stuff. You can get away with things.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a PG-13 movie.
Oh, man. See, there's their opportunity right there.
Mm-hmm.
All of these big comic players, they have franchises they could go this direction with. And I'm not, you know, all I'm saying is as we get more mature, movies for comics are having the same transition that comics had, which was they started out with Superman and Lois Lane, and it was just squeaky clean, perfect, you know, for all ages. And then as it started to mature, especially as we get to like the Frank Miller and Alan Moore days, then we start to realize, oh, this is an art form we can take in other new, more interesting textured directions. And that means pushing the envelope sometimes on content or you know, what material or whatever. And I feel like the films are about to make a similar transition. You can count Kick-Ass if you want, but
right.
I don't count.
Well,
Kick-Ass.
I mean, certainly there have been other R-rated comic book movies. Blade was R-rated. The Punisher with Thomas Jane was R-rated. So there's been a precedent for that for a while. But just because a comic like The Dark Knight Returns is dark and gritty doesn't mean everybody has to be dark and gritty. And so hopefully they don't say, okay, now all these movies have to be R-rated just because Deadpool made a crap ton
it's
of money.
Time for a darker, grittier Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready.
No, but Punisher would fit right in the same mold.
It would, and if you've seen the brand new trailer for Deadpool, or I'm sorry,
Daredevil.
Daredevil just landed this morning, and it looks ultra violent.
Yeah. Oh, good. I mean, oh, good that there's a new trailer. I'm not saying, oh, good, it's ultra violent.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, Frank Castle is not made out to look like a good guy in this trailer.
Good, because he's kind of a vengeful dude. Like that's his whole thing. He's not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Squeaky clean. So I'm jazzed about this direction, and I think it was really well handled. And the crossover, like I said earlier in the show with Colossus, was special. I loved that. And they could do more of that sort of thing, and I would be happy. He was great. Mm-hmm. It's good. Way to go, guys. Nice work. More Transformers movies are coming out. We'll save the
is
bad news for
darker,
last.
Darker, grittier Transformer movie.
Yeah, is it rated R? Are we gonna have Peter Cullen going roll out? You bunch of effing mother effers.
Well, we do know that that Michael Bay is coming back for the 2017. All these movies are coming out in June, but June 2017, Michael Bay is coming back for that. June 2018 is a Bumblebee origin story, or either a Bumblebee standalone film, and then 2019 will be another Transformers movie, ensemble piece.
Hold on a second. Did you say a standalone Bumblebee origin story? Did I hear
I don't
that?
Know if it's origin or if it's just a solo movie, but it is a Bumblebee movie.
How is that a thing to do?
Because, you know, urinating on government officials is really endearing, and so many people love Bumblebee, so give him his own movie.
Look, I don't mind him. He's fine. Would this be before he's the cool Camaro and he's some other car, or what's the deal there?
I have no idea. That's all that Fox has said at the moment is that, hey, we're giving you a Bumblebee movie. So there you go.
Did we learn nothing from Enos and that whole era? This is terrible. This is a bad idea.
Well, you know, Scott, we're coming into a lot more variant covers on comics. We're seeing a lot more sequels. It does feel like the 80s and 90s all over again. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of which, real quick, have you seen any the Rick and Morty comics that are picked up by, who was it?
Oni Press.
Oni Press. Mm-hmm. And there was a story on your site about a bunch of variants and stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any experience with the writing in those things? Are these being written by the
actually
dudes?
Rick and Morty? I was surprised. I've only seen a couple of the shows. I'm not a big watcher of that stuff. But we have reviewed the comic book a couple of times on the site, and it's actually not horrible.
Really?
So it's fairly solid.
Like this when they do like Simpsons comics or Futurama comics or whatever. I always just go, ugh, this is not the format that these are supposed to be in. But when the writing's good, you know, writing's good when the writing's good. So I'm really curious about those.
Yeah, it's not horrible, but, you know, you're right. This really should be TV. But since you're only getting a certain number of episodes per season for Rick and Morty, this is probably your next best outlet.
Yeah, I feel like it might work okay there. And it's not Harmon and the other guy, right?
No. It's based on that, but they've got a whole bunch of different writers on that.
All right. Okay, Rick. That sounds great, Rick. Let me know when it's out. Okay, Morty.
You know, real quick, Brian, you know, you saw Spotlight. It's out on iTunes now, and it is a very good movie.
Oh, really? It's on. It's rentable now?
Oh, yeah. It was on iTunes like 2 weeks ago. That's when I watched it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But the movie reminds me so much of All the President's Men.
Sure. Oh, yeah. It's very similar.
And
that
movie did win Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Sound, Best Art Direction. So there may be some options for that for Spotlight to kind of do the same thing.
It didn't win Best Picture, but it was nominated.
It was nominated for Best Picture, did not win.
There's some sweet, if you want to see some killer sideburns, that movie, that movie's got them. All right. Well, look forward to June 2017, 2018, and 2019 for more Transformers.
Yay.
Roll out. Are they all Bay? Like, this is usually a franchise somebody would pass off by
now.
No,
I think 2018 is when someone else is going to do the Bumblebee one, and he may come back for the next one. But, yeah, he's basically said online and other places, as long as people keep seeing these movies, I'm going to keep cranking them out.
He really likes making them.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that. I don't know what it is exactly, but...
They make their money back and then some, so there you go.
Good job, Michael Bay. You've come a long way since your Got Milk commercials in the 90s or the 80s. That's going to do it for us and Steve. And Steve, anything happening on the site you'd like people to know about, sir?
No, just check out everything that we have going on. This week, we are talking Spotlight on Zach on Film, so if you want to hear us talk more about that movie, Tune in to Zach on Film on Friday at majorspoilers.com.
I will do so. Major Spoilers on Twitter, everybody. Talk to you later. Bye
Seep.
Now.
Seep.
Seep. Seep. Seep. Seep. Seep. All right.
Bush.
All right. Let's get to, let's get to the next bit here. The next bit involves one Veronica Belmont.
Sure. The V one, for short.
The V for short. She's not short, though. She's average height, I think. I'm not actually sure about that. Veronica Belmont, how tall are you exactly?
5'7"?
That's average. That's normal. Yeah. Yeah, we were just.
Where is this coming
from?
I don't listen to your show.
We were
so
having a
know.
Brief. No, I know. It's all right. We all, none of us listen to each other's shows, which is hugely ironic.
Who has time?
Yeah, who has time? Nobody has time. We're too busy making shows. Right. No, we were just talking about height for some reason, and I thought I should verify. Because in my head, I see you as average height. I'm kind of freakishly tall, so I always have to think about the relativity there. But you confirmed it. You're average, normal height.
I'm slightly taller than average for women. Most women are around 5'4", apparently.
Oh.
5'4", 5'5".
That's the average. What's the average with men? Like 5'10" or maybe 6?
I think, I don't know. Let's look. Let's look it up.
All right.
If only we had a supercomputer at our fingertips.
Yeah. If only there was a huge interconnected series of computers that...
Yeah, 5'5" is average female for white females.
All right, and then what's the man one? Can you look up the man one?
Yeah,
what's the man one?
The man one is 5'10".
Oh, okay.
For white males.
All right, good job, white males. Keep carrying that flag.
Being average as usual.
Yeah, just very kidding. Nice. Veronica Belmont comes on the show on Mondays, and we talk about the world of video games, sometimes news therein, and what's going on today? What's happening?
Well, they debuted, first of all, I'm sick, so I sound like crap. Sorry.
It's all right.
You sound better sick than I sound well, so.
I'm sick again. The trailer, the extended preview for The Walking Dead Michonne, the Telltale miniseries, came out, and it's the first 6 minutes of the game.
That sounds all right to me.
Yeah, it looks pretty great. She's my favorite character.
One of my problems with the previous, the first season of Walking Dead is the engine was clearly kind of not entirely baked yet. Things were a little janky and kind of looked muddy and awful, and the second season looked a lot better, and then subsequent games like Wolf Among Us and the Game of Thrones one, those were beautifully done. So is it, how does it look?
It looks great. Yeah, I watched the whole thing. It looks great to me. It's a little backstory on Michonne and what she's going through, haunted by her past and coping with unimaginable loss and regret. The story explores Michonne across a 3-episode miniseries event.
Does she, we probably get into when and why she had the headless dudes with her and all that, the chained up.
Well, we got that in the TV show.
Yeah, we
show
know
too.
That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did
they
we get
explain that on the show?
Did we get that in the show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like her brother and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
I might be behind. Like 3 seasons.
You must be pretty behind.
I am. I think I'm like 3 seasons behind everybody else right
Jeez.
Now. I know. And last night I saw your tweet talking about how great the episode was.
Oh, yeah. Last night was great.
Frustrated.
It was pretty epic. Yeah. Although I just read a review on IO9 that was like exactly the opposite of what I thought, which was that it was the worst episode so far.
Really?
So, you know, people are entitled to their opinions.
There's
for sure.
a lot of Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, totally. There was a lot of like a lot of improbable things happening.
Was there at any point did someone yell Coral? Did that happen?
Okay. yes.
Somebody did. Yeah.
All right, great.
Yes.
Good to see you. Good to see that I'm I may be behind, but I still got it.
Coral.
Well, anyway, this sounds good. I'm anxious to, there's 2 things coming from Telltale this year that I'm very jazzed about. There's that and then the Batman one they're doing.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what secret sauce they're putting in lately, but Wolf Among Us and specifically the Borderlands story adventure thing, extremely
Tales
well done.
The Borderlands.
Yeah, they're really good. Like some of the best adventure games I've ever played. So I guess I'm kind of back in on their Walking Dead stuff. I kind of trailed off after that first season. I didn't really play the second one very much. Felt like it just sort of, I don't know, didn't do much to the to the what you're used to. But man, they've just been killing it. So this is exciting. I'm
excited for them, and they've got great writers, and it's a fun series.
When you're sick, you sound very mellow and chill.
I'm so sick.
I'm so sad. I'm so sad to hear that. Did you get it from Ryan? He brought that thing back from Tahoe and gave it to you.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Right. Although it's different. Like, he was much more head congested. I'm much more like chest congested and like coughing and throat sore and that kind of stuff. So super fun. Yay.
Well, you're above average height for a white female. So keep that in mind. And
there you go.
Don't share any drinks with Tom, because his thing was, it sounds like the worst nightmare ever.
I know. Everybody's sick right now. Yeah. It's crazy.
All my friends are sick. I feel like a time bomb. So I
got any moment now.
I got to go to Mexico next week. I do not want anything before I go. And my daughter's sick right now. My son has a fever. I don't. I'm feeling it, man. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, flying doesn't help either.
No, it doesn't. 4 hours to Mexico doesn't help either, and neither does eating street tacos. But I'll be careful. Veronica, I hope you feel better. And it's always good to have you on. We'll see you next Monday. It's Veronica on Twitter. Everybody, follow her there.
See you later.
See you later. She got that deep husky voice today. Yes. Hey, Brian.
I don't think it's like that, though.
I like Michonne. It's not quite like that.
Not quite. Not quite Abraham level there.
Okay. Let's see here. What else we have? We got nothing else. That's it.
Wow.
We're going to get out of here on time.
Okay.
People don't realize it, but hour and a half mark is the on time mark.
That is the goal, right? Hour and a half.
Yeah. When we hit it, it feels real good, so I'm going to hit it. Tomorrow.
We can't make any promises tomorrow with Jury, although is he in South Carolina?
No, he's not doing that.
Oh, he's not, okay.
He'll be home. As a reminder, I'm glad you brought this up. Tonight at 2 p.m. Pacific, that's not tonight, I guess. This afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Drive Time Eastern, Jury and I will be launching a beta episode of his, it's his brainchild, I have to give him credit for this, for a brand new thing called Hotline Monday. And it has nothing to do with Drake or that dumb Hotline Bling song, okay? Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with it. But it will be him and I on a live show. We'll also have this recorded, so don't worry. If for those who can't be there at that time, we'll have it as a way to download it or get it. But it will be us talking about sort of a topic of the day. Surely Deadpool will come up because he saw it as well. All kinds of stuff at frogpants.com/live. That's today. Live, your phone calls. That's the main point of this. Hotline. Think of the hotline part. You guys calling in. That's the whole idea. In fact, if you're listening to me now and you haven't, that time hasn't come around yet and you're listening live, write down this number, 801-895-4724. It's the same one we used this morning for our Daryl segment. 801-895-IRAGE. This is what that spells out. And be here for that. It's going to be good. Can't wait. Live.
Yeah, 4 p.m.
4 p.m. today, or 3 p.m. Mountain.
3 p.m. Mountain.
3 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m.
I will be there, Eastern. Scott.
Oh, good. You can call in if you want.
Nah.
You should. You should call in and go.
People are tired of my freaking voice.
I'm Breon Urbit.
That's it. Yes.
That's it. Let's get out.
Bush.
Oh, yeah. Bush. What else? Is that it? I think that's everything. There's a lot of other things today. There's a live boop show here at noon my time. So about an hour and a half from now. So come on back for that if you'd like. Also taking your live calls for that. And I have a meeting at 1, but no one cares about that. Ow. Oh, and tomorrow, Jury and Bill won't be here. Bill's in
South Carolina.
No, Florida.
He's in Florida, man.
His mom's having some sort of retirement party. So he's going to that, which I think is pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
But we'll have Jury. Don't worry. Yeah. I guess that's it. Let's
he'll,
get
he'll
here.
Take some of Bill's time, I'm sure.
Oh, I don't think he'll have any trouble at all.
Whatever will we do? How will we fill
it's not
the
gonna,
second half of the show?
It's not going to be a problem. In fact, when we're done, we'll all say,
hey, you'll say.
All right, great. Let's get out of here. Patreon.com/TMS is how you can support us. It gets you access to our super secret Slacks. Not secret, but, you know, that's how you get in.
Secret Slacks. Into my secret Slacks, people.
If you want to be on that secret Slack or the special Ryan special Slacks, that's how you do it. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. Send us voicemails at 801-471-0462. On Twitter, we can be found at Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. And as always, our subreddit is frogpants.reddit.com. And look for me in Overwatch and play me, because that game is amazing and I can't stop. That's it. Brian, do you got anything else?
You good? I got nothing else. Although, hey, big thanks to you. For finding the current deal on Amazon on the BQ Witbox printer. Is it still on sale?
Yeah, the white one is still on sale.
So those of you who've been, you know, on the fence about getting a 3D printer, the same model that I have, specifically the white version. Oh, it's gone up a little bit.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, it's 980. It's weird how it does this. Like, it'll drop and then it'll fluctuate for a while and then it goes back up to normal price. Still, 900, you know, $1,000 for this 3D printer is about half off. It's usually a $2,000 printer.
Yeah.
And
it was like 850 yesterday. That's really weird that it jumped $100.
I said, when I bought it, it dropped in price like $100 the next day and another couple $100 the day after that. And
I was able
with Amazon just to get the the lowest price they offered.
And I don't know why the white one over
right,
the,
and not the black one.
Yeah, it's weird.
When I bought mine, it was the reverse. The black one was on sale. The white one was not. So
really weird. My brother-in-law, Steve, deserves the credit. He found that and was like, dude, you see this? And so, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, get a good deal if you want that printer. You've seen what Brian's made with it. It's amazing.
It's some incredible stuff.
I think one
of the biggest footprints, or not footprints, but biggest build areas on the market.
Yeah, so that you can get in a consumer level thing. And the little penis things he makes are lifelike.
And full size.
Yeah, they're really amazing.
I don't have to reduce it down like on a different 3D printer.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we go, Diced Tomato is yelling in the chat, or not really yelling, but he says there's a 30-second Star Wars Episode 8 production announcement.
Oh yeah, we heard about this.
It's 30 seconds long. You want to play it really quick?
Yeah, let me is there a link there?
Link in the Skype for you.
All right, let me pull that up. Let's see here. Link in the Skype.
Skype Lincoln.
Clicking it, doing it, making it happen. Actually, I can start sharing this stuff on screen if I can ever.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I just got to start doing it. All right, so we see it. Okay, oh, there's Luke.
Looks like the thing from the end.
It's pretty grizzled.
Yeah.
What if you started laughing and going, I'll get you, Batman!
Get brother. Beautiful.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 8.
Now in production. Okay, well, they didn't show you much.
Wow. Thanks, Dice Tomato.
Yeah, they really made our day. You basically gave us Ryan, what's his name? Ryan, not Singer, Ryan Block. Ryan, no, that's Veronica's husband. Ryan.
Yes, director Ryan.
Ryan Song. Ryan.
Johnson. Ryan Murphy. Ryan Gosling.
I think it's Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Coogler.
I think it's Ron Johnson. And I couldn't remember it, and that's my name. That's so terrible.
Yeah, because it's R-I-A-N, not R-Y-A-N.
So he's out there filming, and
yep.
There's Luke, and
yep.
There's...
And he's smiling, and he's holding up the big old...
Yeah. He's got Daisy Ridley over there.
Right.
She's cute as a button.
Mm-hmm.
I'd give her full rations for that. All right. Let's get out of here. It's music time, and you have it.
Yes, Brian wrote in with a Y, Brian. Yeah. Hi, Bot and Scryne. After some hard months, I finally picked myself up and dusted myself off. To celebrate the breaking down of my wall and coinciding with my birthday on the 15th of this fine cold month, I wanted to hear a cover of one of my favorite songs by one of my all-time favorite artists, Pink Floyd. Comfortably Numb is, of course, about being inside the wall, but Pickin' On Series only covered the song. Even though I'd really like to have the wall completely covered by them, this one will have to make do. By the way, do you guys know if it's too early to get a fish sandwich?
Damn it! That one's harder to get. Fish sandwich.
Move that to the same page.
Back in my day, I didn't use condoms. We used an old fish.
That's not it.
Hey, it's too early to get a fish sandwich.
There you go.
Well done. So his request is for the cover of Comfortably Numb performed by the Pickin' On Series. No idea if this is the same group that does a few of the other ones, Iron Horse, or if it's a different Pickin' On group. There are no vocals, which makes me believe it's not Iron Horse. Yeah. But this is still fantastic, nonetheless. Great instrumental version of Comfortably Numb. Tuck in. It's from the Pickin' On Pink Floyd, a bluegrass tribute. Came out in 2005. The whole album is fantastic and great music to have on while you're working. I'm going to try that today. Comfortably Numb from the Pickin' On Series.
See you guys tomorrow. Thank you. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Dinosaurs do not equal birds.
No.
Do not equal
birds.
Birds.
Eh. Birds.